Pass another one, will you?
The reunion's well underway now, Chris.
Yeah, say that again, Spadger. See the press across there getting a story and pictures.
Yeah, headlines tomorrow, eh? Veterans of Kokoda Trail revive memories at reunion.
Or, original militiamen of 39th Battalion fight Al Kokoda battle with words.
Yeah, that'd be right, too. Yeah, there's some ear bashing going on here tonight. Shot and shell from every corner. Worse than it was up on the trail in 42. It gets worse every reunion.
That's what reunions are for, I suppose. Fight the battles over again. Hey, look across there. Get on the lofty. He's going in with a bayonet. And another nip at the dust.
It's good to see the blokes again, though, isn't it, Chris?
Say that again, Spadger. Kind of gets kind of sentimental, though, doesn't he? You know, you look around expecting to see faces that you'll never see again. Oh, you know what I mean, Spadger.
Yeah, sure.
Like, whenever I think of Kokoda, I see the same old picture. The moonlight and the mist curling up like ghosts through the rubber trees, and... Do you know who I always see there, Spadger?
I can see it still.
I can see Doc Vernon there in the moonlight, walking away through the Japs.
Yeah, so can I. The Doc. Now there was a man.
Citation! Presenting authentic stories of heroism and gallantry taken from the histories of war. The story of P-930, Captain G.H. Vernon, M.C. Captain G.H. Vernon was aged 60 when the Japanese landed in the Buna-Gona area in 1942 to attempt an assault across the mountains to Port Moresby. He was a medical officer who had served in the 11th Light Horse in the First World War. He was deaf from an explosion on Gallipoli. Captain Vernon had become an identity in Papua, where he had been making a living for some years, partly as a medical officer, partly as a planter. When the Japanese struck, he had been caring medically for the men, mostly natives, working on a trail that led through the tiny mountaintop village of Kokoda.
Yeah, I can see the Doc clear as though it was only yesterday, Chris. When did we first strike him?
Yeah, I remember that too. It was at Ilola while Captain Templeton was waiting for some guides to lead us over the mountains. Remember that, Spadge?
Remember it? I'll never forget it. The mountains up above us all covered in that grey mist and the rain and mud. They told us the old 39th Battalion had to find a way across those mountains in case the Japs tried to attack that way.
And the experts said the mountains couldn't be crossed. There were plenty of times later when I agreed with them.
And me.
It was when we were pushing up there that I first saw this Al Joker. I thought to myself, how's he going to climb this slippery mountain range?
But he did.
Like a champion. But I thought he was a bit of a joke then. I thought everything was a bit of a joke then. I didn't know the Japs had landed.
The Japanese had landed in force after a shelling of the landing area by their invasion fleet. They came with horses, bicycles, iron rations, field engineers, and a variety of weapons. They swarmed across the evil swamp belt along that spongy coastline of Buna-Gona. Then they moved quickly, confident, laughing, as they picked greenery in the foothills for camouflage. They began to climb, moving into the mountains towards Port Moresby, penetrating into the mountain barrier that had been considered impassable to man.
Hold it. Pass it back.
Hold it. Pass it back.
What's on?
Another hold-up.
Maybe we've come up with these Japanese we've heard so much about.
I don't believe they exist. The only thing that exists for me is this stinking mud and this up-and-down mountain range. Oh, I've had it, mate.
Haven't we all? Except that old joker across there, that medical bloke. Must be 60 if he's a day, and yet he's...
Hey, what's that?
Machine gun. And we haven't a machine gun. Do you reckon
it's... The Japs! Who else could it be?
Now, Now, we didn't know our advance party had run into the Japs. It was the afternoon of July the 23rd when that Captain Chalk's party struck the Japs near Awala.
And we struck them soon after. They had machine guns, mortars, and a field gun. We had only rifles. Yeah, I remember it.
But we got some of them at Garari. Dropped a good few of them there. And at Oevey.
Yeah, and they got some of us, including Captain Templeton.
Yeah. Captain Templeton. Went out to have a look at our rear defenses. We heard that burst of fire. He never came back. Oh, what a nightmare that was. Clammy, moss-covered place. Ooh, ghostly.
Hey, this is a reunion, not a haunting expedition. Let's get on to a brighter subject.
Yeah, we was talking about Doc Vernon. He was one of the bright parts at that time. Particularly when we withdrew back to Kokoda. Remember going back there, Spadger?
Never forget it.
Creepy. Stumbling through the dark. Hanging onto the bayonet scabbard of the man in front. Hearing the Japs call out.
Commodore! Me want of you! Commodore! Commodore! Come forward, Corporal White!
Yes.
Aussie!
Listen to the rat.
Aussie!
Who do they think they're having on?
Sounds as though they're all around us.
Well, yeah, they're as tired as I am. But they don't sound like it out there shouting and screaming. Oh, we'll wait till we get to Kokoda, then we'll stand and fight.
If we get to Kokoda.
Can't be far ahead now. We only hope the Japs aren't there waiting for us when we arrive.
Aussie!
Hey, listen.
You don't want to fight, Aussie!
Japs. Japs everywhere. Around us everywhere.
There goes the CO, Colonel Owen. And there's that Captain Vernon with him, the old joker. One thing, they tell me he knows New Guinea like the back of his hand.
We need somebody who does. I'm bushed.
We'll be right with Doc Vernon. He'll guide us into Kokoda quick smart.
And the militiamen, commanded by Lieutenant Colonel Owen, took up positions on the Kokoda Plateau. Colonel Owen disposed his 39th Battalion around the administrative area on the tongue-shaped Kokoda Plateau poked northward from the main range. It was a small area with cliffs that fell away down to the Mambari River. In the belt of rubber trees at the end of the plateau, the Australians dug in. In the rubber, Captain Vernon set up his regimental aid post. He was weary. He had been taking medical care of the hundreds of native carriers. They had been causing him more concern than the wounded. The carriers were vital if the Kokoda Trail was to be kept open from Port Moresby. But now he had fresh worries, new problems, as he waited there in the rubber for the advancing Japanese.
What's that?
Where?
Coming through the rubber like a ghost. Look at it.
Oh, relax, Chris. It's only mist, a spiral of mist in the moonlight.
But that's no ghost. Those are Jap mortars and machine guns.
Well, stopping us up, eh? She'll be on any time now.
Here they come. Now I can see the ghosts. Only they aren't ghosts. Japs coming through the mist with bayonets out.
Ghosts or no ghosts, I'll see how they fancy grenades.
So, on that small plateau on Kokoda, the young Australian militiaman rose to meet the Japanese advancing through the moonlight. It was difficult to tell friend from foe in that misty light. Then came the clash of bayonets, the shouts of men and hand-to-hand fighting. In the midst of this savage hand-to-hand battle, Colonel Owen fell, even as he threw another grenade at the enemy. A bullet had struck him above the right eye.
Ah, she was all a long time ago, Spadger.
But I still remember that Doc Vernon there working over Colonel Owen. Bad luck for the colonel, it was getting hit like that.
Yeah. Captain Vernon did his best for him, though. He knew it was no show, but he was there, bullets and grenades flying all around him.
Even while the Japs were pushing us back. Well, there were too many of them for us, and we had to pull out.
Yeah, but remember Snowy Parr giving him a last burst as we went?
Yeah, I remember that, too. Snowy and his mate with a Bren blasting the big bunch of Japs as they came on and into the clearing.
Come
on, Snowy. Come on.
He's looking for more.
He's shot down at least 15 of them now. You can stretch your luck. Ah, here he comes.
Side of the Japs. Look at him coming up through the rubber now.
And there's one of our fellows there. Look. Look at him behind that rubber tree. Smoking a cigarette as the Japs came in.
It's Doc Vernon. Captain Vernon. Come on, Doc. Come on out.
Doesn't seem to care. He doesn't seem to care. Come on out, Doc.
Yeah, I remember.
And he walked out from Kokoda. Walking out in the moonlight through the mist and the Japs as though he was just strolling through town on a summer's day.
That was his form. Cool, calm and collected. No running up for the dock.
Hmm. Funny when you look back on it. Joker there, 60 years old. Most of our fellas are about 18. It was good to have him there. Sort of a steadier.
Yeah, and the blokes who were wounded there, they thought so too.
Don't tell me you're getting sentimental, Spadger. Reunion, remember?
Sure. But the thought just struck me harder than it ever has before. If it hadn't have been for those New Guinea old hands like Captain Templeton and Doc Vernon, the story of Kokoda might have ended very differently.
Citation. These stories are authentic. The program is recorded by Amalgamated Wireless Australasia Limited for Army Public Relations and is produced by Donald Crosby.